turn two things. Number one, to 1 Peter in your copy of God's inerrant, sufficient, authoritative word, infallible. Throw that in there as well. And then in your workbook, if you've got that, on page 323, and we're going to look at the bottom of that page and pick up where we left off last week with 1 Peter. So on this page, the box at the top, we know Peter wrote this. He's writing to whom he calls strangers or aliens. These are believers who are scattered throughout that northern area of Asia. We looked at it on the map last week. And remember, we left off with this, I think, last Wednesday night, a reference to the book of Hosea. Remember Hosea and Gomer? And he has has several kids, and each of those kids has a name that God uses to symbolize his relationship with his people. And he's got that one whose name, Lo Ami, which means not my people. And then God says, I've got plans for you, and whereas you were not my people, you will be the people of God. So Peter uses that reference to Hosea, or from Hosea, and it leads the author of this study to say that perhaps he's not only writing to Jewish believers scattered, but even Gentiles, since he references how they were not part of the people of God at some time. And that may be the case. So we left off with that last week. And where we're going to pick up today, or tonight, that next section, after they spoke about the persecution, we also touched on how Peter, according to tradition, was crucified upside down. And then there are about, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 points, bullet points here, with some advice that Peter gives for hard times. And so we're going to start looking through those and just kind of jot those, hit them, and move on. So, number one, in the first chapter, as Peter begins to write about some, I guess you would say, advice, right? Giving us some tips and some pointers for how to make it in this world and how to make it with a smile on our face. That's hard to do. And in the first chapter, one of the areas that he focuses on is getting you to think about your future inheritance. Now, I don't know what comes to mind when you think inheritance. Maybe you think in your own family. You think about something that's already been passed down, something you're going to pass down, thinking about, you know, I've got this here in retirement now, we're estimating this amount, we're going to pass this on to whomever. You may think about it that way, but when Peter refers to inheritance, he's speaking more of your eternal, right? Something, Holy Spirit becomes a down payment for what God is going to give us in the future with eternity, with heaven. So let's look in chapter 1, and we'll read these few verses they mark here, which is 3 through 6. And let's look at what he says about it. All right, here's some advice. You've been chosen by God according to the foreknowledge in verse 2. So blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what did God do? Peter was glad you asked that question. Here's what he says he did. Who, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again. Okay, remember Nicodemus, John chapter 3. You know, you must be born again. We call it the new birth. Holy Spirit regenerates. Okay? So Peter says it is a blessing. We're praising God our Father according to His great mercy, not giving us what we deserve. He caused us to be born again. Now, what we've been born again to is a living hope. Does Phil Wickham come to mind right there? Okay, I think Phil Wickham sang that song at Kurt's service Sunday afternoon. I love that song, by the way. So, we've been born again, His great mercy, to a living hope. Okay, where is the hope coming from? Next prepositional phrase, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So now we're talking about Easter. I've never used this for Easter before, but maybe we ought to, right? It focuses on that. Now he says, here's why all that happened. Why he caused you to be born again, the resurrection. Verse 4 hits it kind of in a nutshell. It says, the reason for that is you're scattered, persecuted believers. It's so that you might obtain, I got something in my throat, obtain an inheritance. Okay, there's our word. What kind of inheritance is it? Is it an amount in a bank account? Is it Some heirlooms? Is it some jewelry from a great-great-grandmother passed on from generations ago? No. He says it is an inheritance, and this inheritance is imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away, and I'm talking about something for eternity because it is reserved for you in heaven. It's reserved in heaven for you. And then he adds to that, speaking of you as believers, scattered due to persecution, even though you're being persecuted, you are protected by the power of God. Now that's a strange thought there. They're beating me to death. I'm losing my job because I'm a Christian. I've got people shooting at me from 200 yards away. Okay, you know what I'm getting at here. All right. And yet the Bible says, even though I'm being persecuted, I'm protected. That's a strange thought, okay? I am protected by the power of God Himself, and it's through faith, and again we're going to look to the future, it's through faith, and now it is for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Book of Revelation, okay? Now, in this, you greatly rejoice. Now, what is the author getting at? Rejoice in your inheritance, okay? In this inheritance that's protected for you and preserved for you, imperishable, rejoice, even though that, watch this, why is this so stinking applicable for the past week? I won't plan it on this, like, wow, watch this. In this you greatly rejoice, and watch, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials, and he goes on. Now here's what Peter's getting at. Number one, life is not always easy. In fact, life is not easy, period. A lot of things make life not easy, and it's very difficult at times. Here's what Peter says. What I have found, this is Peter talking, what I have found is even with persecution, and I'm talking like people are literally scattered. We got refugees leaving the Jerusalem area and going up into Bithynia and Pontus and all these places because of persecution. Right? Even in that, he says, don't forget your eternal inheritance. It's reserved for you. Okay, the word there in Greek is garrisoned. Okay, if I could take soldiers, armed soldiers, and put them around your inheritance so nobody can touch it. That's what I've done for you. It is protected for you. So even though it is very difficult, it's very distressing at times, the Apostle Peter says, look, I know what it's like. Peter knows what it's like. I know what that's like. Here's what I'm going to give you some advice in dealing with hard times. Rejoice not so much in the suffering part, in the circumstances, but as you're in the circumstances, we're always trying to rise above that. So you know what? And Ecclesiastes kicks in right now. All this futility. All this vanity. You know, it's like all the mess I deal with in this earth. You know what? This doesn't even really matter if I'm thinking about that inheritance garrisoned in heaven for me. So I'm hoping that helps, right? That's what Peter's trying to do. I'm hoping that helps you and rejoice in that. Remember the difference in the book of Philippians, the difference in joy and happiness, right? Sometimes happiness depends on circumstances. It's an emotion. I'm happy or sad. But joy is something that's deeper, right? It's something kind of Holy Spirit bred, fruit of the Spirit in me. And even though, and like my parents said earlier, and my brother since Saturday has been in excruciating pain with his tooth thing. And I'm like, it's hard to sing there, right? It's hard to still... But I'll say this, you know, when you go through really, really difficult things and painful things, it cannot touch that inheritance that's reserved and protected. And there's still something deep down inside that says, no matter how bad it gets, nobody can take that away from me. So Peter's like, all right, rejoice in your inheritance as you suffer for his sake. Okay, what do y'all think? Is Peter on to something there? I think so. Okay, anything you want to add to that or share a story or testimony about rejoicing in times of difficulty, thinking about your inheritance in the future? Well, let's look at the second one. The second one is not going to be what you would expect. So, number one, some advice for making the best of hard times. Rejoice. Think about that inheritance that's reserved for you. Nobody can take that away. It's protected by God Himself. Now, number two. hard times, suffering, persecution. And Peter says in chapter 2, oh, by the way, I want y'all to submit to the government. You know what I put in my book beside this statement? I put in here, do what? Didn't expect that. Okay. In Peter's context, for the most part, who are the ones doing the persecuting? The government. Right? Roman emperor, and I mean, honestly, like Apostle Paul is killed by the emperor. I think Peter's going to be killed by the emperor. I mean, this is the one that's really initiating this persecution and martyrdom for early believers. And yet Peter says, oh, by the way, as you're dealing with suffering, submit to the government. All right, let's look and see what he says. So this is chapter 2 now, right? 13, 14. So let's see what he's got to say about this. Oh, in verse 13, these are instructions for believers under persecution, going through very difficult times. And Peter says, now my Bible puts a little heading at the top of verse 13 that says, honor authority. Wow. You know what, Sean, did you mention praying for our nation? If we could honestly just get people to respect authority, you know what difference that makes? If we could get people to respect the teachers in our schools and the principals, I saw it, man. I saw kids in the face of the assistant principals. I'm like, what is wrong with y'all? If we could get people to respect those who wear the badge, and not think they're always the bad guys, have to get somebody. Oh, watch this one. Oh, how about this one? If we could just get kids to respect their parents. Alright, Dominique's going to give him another question. No. I got you. But what I'm saying is that the hidden in my Bible says honor authority. Now look at what Peter says. So in verse 13, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it is to the king as the one in authority, or maybe it's the governors, those sent by him. And here's why they are sent. They are sent for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. And then he says after that in verse 15, for such is the will of God. Doing right, you silence ignorance of foolish men, etc., etc. So Peter has the audacity here to say, in my opinion, against, you know, his persecution. Listen, the government of Rome is entirely against the whole thing called Christianity. And yet Peter says, no. Okay, can I word it this way? I don't think the Message Bible puts it this way. You know what Peter may be saying? Now watch this. And this is not going to sound exactly appropriate for church, but you know what I'm getting at. I think Peter may be saying, as Christian people, and you're living in a land where the government hates you, like this is wrong, don't make a tail of yourselves. Can I say it that way? Like, don't be submissive as much as you can, right? Don't create a reason for the government to come down on you as Christian people. You know, abide by laws as best you can. If the law of man supersedes the law of God, then you disobey man and obey God. But for the most part, don't bring unnecessary trouble on yourself just because. You know, I think that may be what Peter is saying. So submit yourself to the Lord. No, it's for the Lord's sake. That means whether you like it or not, this is something that God says, right? To honor him. To every human institution, whether it's a king, a governor, or whomever it may be. So, suffering for his sake, some tips he gives when it's hard, and he says, here's one thing that might help you. Submit to the government as much as you can. Do what? You know? So what do y'all think? Anything stand out with that one that you want to take up with Peter?
I think you missed wives being obedient to their husband.
We're getting there. That's chapter 3.
I think it's just the continuing theme of God just wanting us to continue practicing obedience, whether it's to him and or to because that. And then, like what you said, it's not putting a bad taste in the people in power's mouth of, you know, the Christian being like some negative stereotype, how like the, again, flip a little bit.
Yeah.
Like how like the far left like tries to stereotype us as being very judgmental, very stuck up, very, you know, and just.
And that's why I liked that video I found today, because it was two people who were not, or not in agreement with, you know, morality, basically biblical morality, and yet they were just amazed at the love and compassion. The lady actually was in tears. You could hear in the background when Chris Tomlin was singing "How Great Is Our God," and she's like, she turns her camera around and says, she's in tears. She's like, "This is the most beautiful song I've ever heard in my life," and probably not even a believer.
Mm-hmm. So, baptized afterward.
Oh,
people
wow.
left it and went okay. to the river, and tons of people were getting baptized after his
baptism. Yeah, there was an invitation that was given.
See, I ain't got to the end of $5 yet.
It was beautiful. Like, yeah, it's super exciting.
Yeah.
If you go on to verse 15, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." So when you saw that, like, you haven't got this part probably either, but when you saw Eric and Kirk say that "I forgive the man who killed my husband," like, how do you argue with him? Mm-hmm. You can if you're a lunatic, but like if you have any kind of sanity in your mind still, like, you can't argue. Like, that's putting mm-hmm. foolish men to shame who are celebrating.
Same thing, the same video, that lady said that. She said, "I cannot believe it. The widow said, 'I forgive.'" I mean, it blew her away. And she was in tears. She's back home, and she's like, "That is the best event I've ever been to in my life." And she's in tears. So anyway, I think you're right. And see, and sometimes we look at something like that, we're like, well, you know, we only think the negative side, but we don't realize the reason he says that, I think, is to make life more peaceful for you and also protect the ability to evangelize and not be seen as such a negative light that people won't even listen to you. So there's reasons Holy Spirit led Peter and Paul to write like this. So suffering for his sake, these are just points of advice for making the best of hard times. Let me do the third one really, really quick before we go, because this really ties in as well. Chapter 3. Peter says, let me give you another one that's going to be opposite of what you may think. Go ahead and repay evil. Go at it all you want. Repay evil. But do it by pain and good. Hold on, Peter. Do you realize how bad, how difficult, how distressing, how anti-God repay that evil, but do it with good? Okay, and then it should make people wonder, right, what is wrong with these Christian people? Well, we're trying to be like Jesus was. And over the Bible says, now watch this, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay." So it's not your job to do the repaying with the vengeance. It's your job to be the expression of God's love and grace toward people who don't deserve it, because we didn't deserve it. So Peter, I first read what he writes, I'm thinking, Peter, you've got to be off the mark here. Submit to the government? I mean, they're the ones killing us. Repay evil with good? No, no, no. Why can't we fight back? It doesn't make sense. And that's hard to do. It's hard not to get vengeance. It's hard not to even not at least think it. Have you ever, I've told y'all before, have you ever thought, like, Lord, if I were you, yeah. Lord, if you gave me authority for just 10 minutes, I could fit some things. Well, yeah, but God is long-suffering and patient and giving space to repent, and you may not be that way.
I flip it. I'm like, thank God I'm not you.
Oh, I know.
So, go along with that.
I ain't even read the verse yet. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. In regards to Charlie Kirk, his official time of death was 12:23 p.m., and there's a thing going around on the internet, and it relates to John 12:23, and it says, "Jesus replied, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds.
Hmm.
And so I think it goes along with the repay evil with good. Something evil happened, but there's so much good coming out of it.
That is interesting. Let me read the verse before we go, so you'll believe me. So this is chapter 3, verse 9. Let me start in verse 8. To sum up, let all be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit. Here's what he says. Let all of y'all not return evil, or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. So that's where the author is getting it from when it comes to the really difficult times in life. Repay evil. Repay it all you want, but make sure you're repaying it with good and not with evil. And that is very, very difficult to do, but I'll say this. You will greatly reinforce your testimony if you repay evil with good. Now, having said that, God does have other institutions in place, judicial system, and their job is to make sure that laws are enforced and there's consequences, and that's their job. But for me, the individual, you know, I'm not going to return evil for the evil. So I got to go. It's late. So I'm not going to share anymore. But that's where Peter's going, and he's going to give you several of these in the context of the suffering and looking at practical ways of trying to be Christ-like in a world among people that really don't deserve it. I mean, honestly, that don't deserve it. But we've been called to a higher path, a higher road.